I have two questions for you this morning. What is it that you fear? And what does it mean for you to take up your cross and follow Him? Now, we inevitably think of taking up our crosses in terms of giving up something, in terms of some deprivation, something that we deny ourselves of, and it is. But cross-carrying is more than simply this. I want us to look at our crosses more broadly this morning. I want us to look at them in our existential way of life. And I want to link cross-carrying with our fears. We think briefly about when we deny ourselves. Years ago, a young seminarian was about to prepare for the upcoming season of Lent, and he decided that he would speak to his spiritual director, a very wise old monk. Very earnestly, he asked him what he should do for Lent, and he offered a couple of ideas of things that he might do, things that he might deny himself of during the season. And the wise old monk looked at him and answered him with the question. He said, "Where are you now? What are you doing?" The seminarian was kind of taken back. He didn't know what the monk meant by this. But the monk pressed him, "Where are you right now? What are you doing?" And ultimately, in exasperation, the seminarian was forced to respond, "I'm a seminarian. I'm preparing for ordained ministry." "Aha," the monk said. "Precisely. And that's your Lenten discipline. Embrace your life right now. Embrace your small sacrifices, the food you sometimes do not like to eat, or the men you live with who get on your nerves, or the time you spend studying when you would rather be doing something else. That's your Lent. That's your cross. Be a good seminarian, and then you will have a good Lent." What are your crosses now? What is it that you fear? I think that our crosses are all around us, and they reside inside us as well. I want to ask your indulgence to hang with me for just a moment. Because when we begin to talk about crosses, it's never really pleasant, is it? I don't know about you, but during this last weekend, with the wall-to-wall coverage and only looking at a small part of the commemorations and the TV coverage, I was taken back to that moment 20 years ago yesterday. We all know where we were. And as the anniversary was commemorated, I remembered. I cried. I remembered the fear that all of us felt at that time. The grief, the sadness, the anger. I was sorry for the loss of life. I was sorry for those who loved, whose loved ones were taken from them suddenly, inexplicably. And I thought about those priests in New York and New Jersey, comforting so many families and conducting so many funeral masses within a very compact time, seemingly endless grieving, and without bodies. There was very little to seek that elusive notion of closure. Today, for the last year and a half, you and I and citizens of the entire world have endured the pandemic. We thought that it might have been ending earlier this summer, but no. Only the Delta variant rising up with a possible another one on the way. And then we think about all of those who were affected by the hurricane, Hurricane Ida, and the poor folks in Louisiana, and those who suffer from the storms in the Northeast. We pause to think about the poor people of Haiti plagued by an earthquake and then subsequent storms. And then I don't know about you, but this morning's headline in the local paper was telling all of us how much worse it could have been back in February when we were without heat or water. I wasn't comforted by that because I thought it was pretty bad as it was. So what is it that you fear? And what does your cross or your crosses look like? I think our crosses coincide with our fears and what is happening in our daily lives. Out there, among us, and in here. There's a wonderful series that I've recently been viewing. It's about an Orthodox community in Jerusalem. Superb actors, great writing, characters with all of the flaws and sometimes virtues that you and I exhibit. There's a young married couple, Haini and Rukani. Rukani desperately wants to bear a child, and Haini does as well. They want to begin a family. But her physical condition is such that she's been told her life is in danger. Should she become pregnant and bear a child? And her young husband knows this. The two have a very strong love for one another. Haini does not want anything bad to happen to his bride. And Rukani doesn't want to worry her young husband. Rukani does become pregnant, but she hides this from her young husband, knowing his fear, knowing his worry for her. Of course, the pregnancy is ultimately revealed, and he's furious, upset with her for keeping this from him, and furious that her life may well be in danger. They have a dreadful argument. And then ultimately, Haini returns home. And he seeks in some way to resolve their relationship and this discontent and that they both feel. Rukani is lying on the sofa and she's crying. Haini comes over to her And Rukhani says simply, "Hani, I need you." Hani responds affirmatively, "I'm here. We are together." His words are so reassuring that Rukhani then turns to him and says, "You're not afraid anymore?" "I am," Hani states, "very much. And we will continue to be afraid. We will pray and we'll be afraid. Should we bear a child, we'll be afraid any time that he or she crosses the road or whenever something bad happens. When you have something precious, you're afraid of losing it." "We will be afraid, Rukhani, and we'll pray, and we'll continue living." My two stories about the seminarian and about the young Orthodox couple suggest that cross-caring from a Christian perspective is dealing with life, moving through all of its challenges, major and minor ones, with grace and resiliency, with hope, with determination, and with faith. And this indeed is our cross as well. You and I have choices to make. Of course, we need to seek the good and avoid evil. But for a dark world full of division and strife and arguing and contention, for all of the Karens and the Kens out there who seek ugly confrontation and wish to divide us all, you and I, who bear the name of Christ, must respond differently. We must carry our cross, and we must do so in love. And my friends, this is some heavy lifting. We may at times want to simply act in kind. We may justify our thoughts of anger, resentment towards the other. But Christ, who carried the biggest cross of all, points us in other directions, the direction of love, which seeks understanding, forbearance, and compassion. We must double down on love because we are bearers of light. We know our fears. We recognize our crosses of daily living. And we seek not only to bear them alone, but knowing that the one we serve has gone before us, pointing the way. Knowing that love casts out all fear. Knowing that what awaits us is not only Christ's promise of victory after life, but a lighter load in this life as we name our fears and bear our crosses. We are all in this together. And the only reason that we're here is to acknowledge that fact. We are not alone. Christ is with us. And among us. And this Eucharist promises us that when we bring our fears and our crosses to the Lord, He helps us to gently bear them. And He wins for us our salvation.